Good morning. This is Wyoming Debrief from Wyoming Public Radio News. It's Wednesday, July 15th. I'm your host, Charles Pelkey, with these news updates from around Wyoming. The federal government is trying to return management of the threatened grizzly bear back to the states. The governors of Wyoming, Idaho, and Montana, along with Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, announced the plan yesterday. Wyoming Governor Mark Gordon said of the endangered species list,
"It's not a Dean's list. And why I say that is it's time that this bear graduates. It has excelled in its recovery."
The proposal applies to the about 2,000 bears in the lower 48, about half of which are in the greater Yellowstone ecosystem. Many environmentalists say grizzly bears should stay under federal management since they face growing challenges such as habitat loss and climate change. The governor said hunting grizzlies will still not be allowed under the proposed change. It remains unclear exactly what the proposed changes are. More details will be available once the Fish and Wildlife Service publishes its full proposal. The Wyoming Department of Education is deciding how to enact a new statewide literacy program, and it's seeking feedback from the public. New legislation mandates evidence-based practices for teaching children to read. It also requires schools to do regular screenings for dyslexia. The Wyoming Department of Education must put that legislation into action by writing the rules that will tell school districts how to follow that new law. The department has published a first draft of those rules and will accept public comments online through the end of August. A combination of western wildfires and summer heat is contributing to concerns about air quality. The Mountain West News Bureau's Yvette Fernandez has the details.
The extreme heat is accelerating chemical reactions that produce harmful ozone, a problem for many major metro areas. And with particulate matter from wildfires, the combination increases health concerns. Jody Bechtel, an air quality specialist with Clark County, Nevada's Department of Environment and Sustainability, says a season-long advisory for ozone and smoke is in place, as hot, stagnant air can contribute to air quality problems.
The more stagnant it is, the more the pollutants just build up because there's no way for that pollutant to disperse into the atmosphere and no wind to kind of blow it out.
According to Air Now, the federal government site that tracks air quality, large swaths of Mountain West states are blanketed by moderate risk wildfire smoke, with a few regions considered worse, unhealthy for sensitive groups such as those with chronic lung conditions. Yvette Fernandez, the Mountain West News Bureau.
Wyoming Game and Fish is mimicking beavers to improve water quality and habitat along the North Platte River. Wyoming Public Radio's Teal Davis has more.
Beaver dam analogs aren't new in Wyoming. Documents show similar human-made projects in the state aimed at emulating beaver dams date back as far as the 1940s. Wyoming Game and Fish aquatic habitat biologist John McCoy says the agency built and maintained 130 of these sites along the North Platte River this season.
"Looking at it as simple as you can, we'll try and put them where we find beavers naturally."
The dams slow down rivers, delaying erosion and encouraging plants to grow along the bank. And while maintenance is often needed, McCoy says that in some cases, the professionals will take over upkeep of these sites.
"We've actually seen that on a few projects where it's been on our docket to go in and fix them, and then we get in there and lo and behold, the beavers have already either patched up our structures or built a dam just upstream of it."
Game and Fish has built 200 beaver dam analogs in the Casper region. McCoy says the animals have moved into about 30. He's hopeful the trend continues. For Wyoming Public Radio and Report for America, I'm Teal Davis.
President Donald Trump has signed proclamations that dramatically reduce the size of two national monuments. David Kondos reports for the Mountain West News Bureau from Utah, where both monuments are located.
Trump cut the size of Grand Staircase Escalante by 90% and Bears Ears by 91%. He shrunk both monuments in 2017, too, before Biden restored them in 2021. But these cuts are even bigger. Autumn Gillard is a Southern Paiute woman and a coordinator with the Grand Staircase Escalante Intertribal Coalition. She's disappointed their perspective was not included.
These are very sacred cultural landscapes. They are connected to who we are as Indigenous people of the Colorado Plateau.
But Utah political leaders say these large pieces of federal land are examples of government overreach. Celeste Myers welcomes the reduction. She's a Kane County commissioner near Grand Staircase and believes it could help economic prospects with mining and logging.
I hope it opens up for a little more prosperity, different ways to make livelihood rather than tourism and recreation.
Conservation groups say they plan to challenge the actions in court. I'm David Kondos in St. George.
When President Trump drastically cut Bears Ears National Monument on Monday, he also undid years of collaboration with several indigenous nations. For the Mountain West News Bureau, David Kondos has more from Utah.
The Bears Ears Commission was created along with the monument by President Obama a decade ago. It was a first-of-its-kind partnership between federal agencies and five tribes to incorporate Native knowledge into the monument's management. Trump's proclamation cut Bears Ears' size by 91% and terminated that commission entirely. Davina Smithy-Jasa is a member of the Navajo Nation and the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition. She says the administration did not consult local tribes at all about this major change. But she says a proclamation won't end tribes' long-standing connections to their ancestral home.
You can abolish a commission, you can redraw a boundary, but you cannot erase our prayers from this land. You cannot erase us. We are still here.
And Smithy-Jasa says tribal advocates will continue to speak up about protecting the Bears Ears region. I'm David Kondos in St. George.
And here's Ivy Engel with a lighter look at Wyoming news.
This is Around Wyoming. Here are some stories from around the state. A Wyoming Department of Transportation snowplow driver was recently recognized for his life-saving actions in December. Early in the morning, while plowing the roads, he noticed tire tracks in the snow, suggesting a car had slid off the highway. Tyle Myers decided to stop, climbed down an icy embankment, and discovered a mother and her infant trapped in their vehicle. Because of its location, the car could have gone hours or even days without being discovered if Myers hadn't stopped. A new exhibit at the Smithsonian National Museum of Natural History is showcasing an unusual piece from Wyoming. A geyserite from Yellowstone is part of the From These Lands Sharing Our Natural and Cultural Heritage exhibition. The white rock-like chunk forms when geyser water cools at the surface after an eruption. The Western Association of Fish and Wildlife Agencies named the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission as the Commission/Board of the Year. Dave Zaft also won the Professional of the Year award, and Christina Melisa received the Outstanding WAFWA Contributor of the Year for her work on grant writing. For Wyoming Public Radio, I'm Ivy Engel.
And here's today's Wyoming trivia question. Who is the longest-serving U.S. senator in Wyoming history? Send your answer to wyomingdebrief@gmail.com or by message on Instagram or Facebook, and we'll give a shout-out to the first person with the right answer. As for yesterday's trivia question, what is the Wyoming connection in the 1984 sci-fi film The Adventures of Buckaroo Banzai Across the Eighth Dimension? Buckaroo Banzai is an admittedly weird 1984 American adventure science fiction comedy film about the polymath Dr. Buckaroo Banzai, a physicist, neurosurgeon, test pilot, and rock star, who worked to save the world by fighting a band of interdimensional aliens, the Red Lectroids, from Planet 10. The female lead character was Penny Pretty, played by Ellen Barkin. Penny was purportedly born in Cody and grew up in Laramie. No, it wasn't well received by critics, but it has since become something of a cult favorite. You might check it out. Congratulations to Janice James, the first with the correct answer. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for joining me, Charles Pelkey, on Wyoming Debrief this morning. It's still way hot out there, so stay cool and check in again tomorrow.